You're listening to Lisa.fm Thrive here on Issues and Ideas, right here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Lisa Osborne. Expressing creativity can be a great way to free your mind of worry or anxiety. And the art of poetry has been thriving this year in Santa Barbara. So we want to take a closer look at that. Maybe we'll inspire you to tune into your inner poet as well. I'm here with two former poet laureates for Santa Barbara, Chris Yost and David Starkey. They're working on some wonderful poetry stuff. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for interviewing us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
How awesome. I want to talk about what it's like to be a poet laureate in such an artsy city as Santa Barbara. But let's talk about the Shoreline Voices Project, because this is one way that Santa Barbara poets are in the spotlight this year. Tell us more about it, please.
Well, it's been really exciting. We've been able to publish probably about 40 different Santa Barbara poets over the last 2 years through two different books that we've done. We just released Rare Feathers, and that's a collection of poems about birds and art. And poets wrote in response to an exhibit that was at Lotus Land. So it's kind of many degrees of Santa Barbara. It's Santa Barbara poets responding to things in the Santa Barbara environment and part of Santa Barbara history. And artist Nancy Gifford brought everybody together, brought the artist to Lotus Land, and then encouraged the poets to come and write in response. So it's a great way of giving people a venue to talk about their community and to talk about the things going on in town that they feel connected to.
And Lotus Land, for those who are outside of Santa Barbara, it's really, I don't know if it's Santa Barbara's best kept secret or one of them, but it's a gorgeous garden. And Nancy did the large art installations over the last few seasons at Lotus mm-hmm. Land. And is that where the book came from?
It's entirely where the book came from, yeah.
I was going to say that the previous book that Chris and Nancy also put together, Swarm, was Bees, which was inspired by Lotus Land. And I think when you're a poet walking through Lotus Land, it's just a magical experience. And you can see why the poems themselves are so magical, because they are inspired by this place that's just really almost beyond words.
Both those exhibits, they really respond to a problem. They were created to address like colony collapse disorder, the loss of bees, the threat of habitat, and the extinction for birds. And so it's a way of kind of creatively expressing and responding to some really big problems. I think they've done it really effectively through their poems.
And Nancy herself is kind of an activist artist in a way, and I don't know that I would call our press, Gunpowder Press, an activist press, but we are clearly aware of issues in the world that people need to look at.
Because Santa Barbara, so many people are fighting for their causes or standing up for the environment and other great things. Were a lot of the poets who were involved with Gunpowder Press and in your book expressing this kind of stuff?
I think it's the kind of thing everyone's affected by, especially when you're talking about nature and threats to the natural world. And Santa Barbara is a place that just draws people that respond to nature. So I think it's a reflection of our community that it's a concern here. And it's something people are inspired by.
Yeah, Amy, you were talking earlier about finding your inner poet, and I think that's partly what our poets are doing. They're concerned about the world, they're concerned about politics, but really they're trying to write a beautiful poem. Whether that poem addresses ugliness or beauty itself, the poem itself is always beautiful.
And you've both been poet laureates for Santa Barbara, so you're probably, a lot of your work expresses this beautiful city. What's it like being a poet laureate? What were your duties?
Oh, it's really fun. You get to stand next to the mayor when she has the giant scissors to cut ribbons for things. And it's an opportunity to be involved in the civic life of our society. So that's fun. There's not that many opportunities as a poet to get to stand up with the big guys and to be a voice. One of our other poet laureates, Paul Willis, talks about the process as being kind of a secular chaplain, which I think is an important way of looking at it, that it, even though we don't always open like city council meetings with a prayer, there's still a space for like some formal ritualized language that kind of draws people together and helps them connect with things that are universal. So that's what you get to do as poet laureate sometimes.
Right. And I think a lot of us have been really inspired by place, Santa Barbara and other places. So one of my projects was to do a 30 minutes of video poems. I asked people from the city to give me ideas, and I went out and I wrote a poem, and then we did a video about it. And I know Chris's, one of her favorites, I think, was her The Water Treatment Plant poem.
<That's true. laughs>
And, yes. And it's a great poem. You wouldn't necessarily think of that as being, you know, the ideal subject for a poem.
You're encouraged to find inspiration in places where you wouldn't really look for it. I wouldn't have thought about writing a poem, a sonnet about water treatment, but to be able to do it as a poet laureate was kind of fun. Yeah. It's a challenge.
That is awesome. Well, I was the first Santa Barbara poet laureate that I met was this year. The current one, Sojourner Kincaid Rowland, when she read, so beautiful, just all of the little things about Santa Barbara that she included in her poem. It really is a nice celebration of this beautiful city. And we're here today at the Gifford home, Nancy Gifford's home. You were talking about her earlier and what a champion she is for local artists and poets. One of the things that's being celebrated today at this gathering at the Gifford home is the recipient of the Barry Spax Prize. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that's Catherine Abby Hodges. She is a former resident of Santa Barbara. She lives in Porterville now. And she grew up in Santa Barbara. I think she's really inspired by Santa Barbara. Her poems, you're talking about poetry and health. These are poems that I think just really get to the core of what it makes us to be a good person without being preachy. And the prize, of course, is named after our very first poet laureate, Barry Spax. And he is the ultimate healer poet. We all, I think, read his poems in order just to sort of feel refreshed and renewed and to rethink who we are and what we need to do.
How long has Santa Barbara had a poet laureate?
Well, Sojourner is the sixth, so we're going into our 11th year now, I guess.
What inspired you to write poetry for the first time? Were you songwriters? Were you artists in other forms?
Well, you know, I grew up playing in punk rock bands. That's very inspiring. And I ultimately realized, you know, you can't be a punk rocker when you're 50. So I just started reading poetry. I was inspired a great deal by my friend David Case, who's one of the poets that we published. He unfortunately passed away at the age of 49 several years ago. He's a great poet. The Tarnation of Faust, his book, is one of my favorites.
And how about you, Chris?
I've just always liked to write, and I've really enjoyed the community of poets here. I've found it to be really a supportive place to be, and you can't participate in poetry without really sharing yourself. So you get to know people in a way that is very authentic and deep, and you form great friendships and connections through poetry.
You know, it's really a luxury to be able to live in Santa Barbara and make a living to afford to be in Santa Barbara. But what about someone who's listening now? They may not be in such a creative hub. What kind of advice do you give someone who wants to tune into their inner artist?
Well, I think the internet has made it easier than ever for people to find communities and to find networks of like-minded people.
So you don't have to even be face-to-face anymore.
No, you don't have to be. And poetry is huge. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's lots of different pockets of different styles, of different themes, of people who are motivated by different kinds of feedback. So I feel that some poets are discouraged quickly if they try to connect with some other poets and maybe the feedback they get isn't immediately affirming. But keep trying and find different pockets of people that will help you. And there's a lot of them out there to try.
Yeah, I think whenever you can take a class, too, we have a community college class. If you live in Barstow, there are other poets in Barstow who want to get together, and I think that's often the times where, you know, we connect with each other.
And don't listen to those people who don't like your work. You're only one step closer to the yes and someone who loves you, you know? Come on.
Sometimes that's true, but there's also, you know, it is important to be willing to look at your work and be willing to revise it. And, you know, those are all good skills to have, too.
So here in Montecito, California, at the Gifford home again, I'm not name dropping, by the way, to make anyone jealous. You're going to be hearing from some of the poets who are performing today. And a lot of these poets you're publishing at Gunpowder Press. Tell me more about Gunpowder Press.
Well, Gunpowder Press is named Gunpowder Press because St. Barbara, the patron saint of Santa Barbara, is also the patron saint of gunpowder. So the whole press is centered around our community in one way, but also looks outward towards community, towards poetry nationally and internationally even, potentially. But as David mentioned earlier, a wonderful poet, David Case, who passed away very early, was really the inspiration, I think, for David saying, you know, let's do this and let's start this press. And It's been great.
Oh, do you feel like he's guiding you at all from the other
side? Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I feel all the time that his inspiration, I'm always wanting to talk to him and to tell him a joke and to say something, you know, that I saw. But I had this idea. David's book was here, and then my friend Chris Yost had a fantastic book also, and I thought, well, I've got two people whose books I'd love to publish. And so started the press, and then Chris was so great at volunteering to do anything that we needed. I quickly said, hey, would you please be the co-editor of this press? And she graciously accepted.
Oh, that's so cool. Where can we get more information on, and you are publishing Santa Barbara-based poets for anyone who's outside of the area and may not want to get in touch? Or
Well, they should look for the Barry Spax Poetry Prize. That's the best chance.
It's a national prize.
That's a national prize. So we open that up to anyone. We had about 100 people that submitted manuscripts for the first prize this year. We're hoping to have even more people participate next year. And gunpowderpress.com. They can find out a lot about the prize. We'll start accepting things at the beginning of the year and through April. And it's a great opportunity for people to get published.
Chris Yost and David Starkey, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And now you'll hear some poems from Rare Feathers, poems on birds and art. If you saw the Lotus Land exhibit Flock, you'll probably recognize some of the references. These poems were based on that exhibit.
My name is Susan Schiavelli, and I'm going to be reading Eulogy, which is based on the exhibit that the Lotus Land staff put together for Madame Gonowalska's hat. She had quite the collection of feathered hats. Eulogy. Madame selects the hat plumed in extinction black. Multiplied in silver mirrors, she pauses to appraise a grief-trapped gaze. Surrounded by herself in the wavering reflections of the windows, caught in the infinite of the lonely, mirrored hall, her face appears Daphne-like, a vessel filled with leafy light, crowned forever with the memory of flight as morning doves keen. In her dressing room, a wayward bee, there, again, buzzing near her feathered head, deceived, eyes closed as she anticipates the sting.
My name is George Acheson, and I'm one of the poets in Rare Feathers, Poems on Birds and Art. And the name of this poem is Stones Turned to Birds. Not that nature is a stranger to camouflage. From cuttlefish to walking sticks, creatures take on otherness without thought to hide, survive. But this garden is not natural in the slightest, despite its growth and bloom, so these ducks deserve a spot along a two-blue pool beside clamshells, gaping enough to seem carnivorous, or worse, fake. This is the wild stage managed by an opera diva. For it's easy not to think of what a decoy is meant to do, look enough duck to draw in real birds to death. Hunters mighty bored behind their blinds, fingers like talons hooked over triggers. And death is ever, patient, loud, illiterate, full of philosophizing. That these are stone, lost amongst other rocks, only puzzles those of us unwilling for miracles to fly and land. How jaded our stony hearts not to flutter and wonder at each bird denying air its airiness. We say hope floats, yet hold so little of it. We are more earth than we admit, hiding our flight for fear of being shot down. And now I own a decoy that was my dad's, despite his never really hunting, preferring clay birds to real. I want to remember a story that I don't of an artist he liked, a trip recalled, something sentimental. Instead, after his funeral, his wife left me with a box, the decoy nested inside amidst tinned high tacks, other stuff I imagine sat at a drawer bottom like pond moss, a wealth of nothing, even empty picture frames, a gift asking for the other way around, cheap and almost too easy a symbol to write. But life delights in its decoys, the dumb earth itself stone, and we are left deciding what we can see, what reasons we can dream for flying.
Beautiful. Where do you get your inspiration for your poetry?
This was very directly about the art exhibit that was at Lotus Land. So
you mentioned the opera star, which was a nod to Gonowalska.
Yes. We got a little tour of all these things. In this particular artwork, the woman artist had made decoys out of stone and put them amidst all these other stones, so it took you a while. You'd look at it and then you suddenly realize, oh, that one's a duck, that one's a duck, that one's a rock, that one's a duck, you know, and like, how many of the ducks can you find? It was kind of a fascinating art piece because it was hiding in plain sight, more or less. And the idea of that was fascinating, the idea of decoys. And I'm not sure where it suddenly I decided from that I wanted to turn it into a dead father poem. But it made me think of that other decoy I had, and there it went.
Connecting the dots.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
Sojourner Kincaid Roll. And the name of my poem is Grand Jeté. Go inside a stone, that would be my way, Charles Simic. This flick of begin, this spark of sentience, this semblance of mingle, this worry of water, this carry of sound, this hope of profound, this murmur of prayer, this synapse of contain, this dance of air, this breath of death, not one melodious note escapes its tomb. This wish of memory, this ponder of mourning, this bellow of hallucinations. As one we begin, as many we are strong, as one we are stronger. This essence of remain, this breath of retain, this life of begin, this synchrony of being, this holy bind of soul, this hallowed twine of love. A flock of many, a wing of one, we soar.
Beautiful. The first time we talked, it was when you just began your term as poet laureate for Santa Barbara. How's it going?
Well, first, let me say it's 2 years, and my first year has probably been as busy as 2 years, but it's going really great. I'm just really pleased and honored that the community embraces poetry so much and so embraces the poetry laureates. And so if I was busy before, I'm 3 or 4 times busier now, and I've gotten an opportunity to write many poems for occasions in Santa Barbara, and I'm looking forward to writing many, many more. So I really appreciate and I'm honored to be the poet laureate.
And you really capture the essence of Santa Barbara, so I look forward to hearing more of your work.
Thank you.
My name is Gabriella Klein, and I am reading from the book Rare Feathers, Poems on Birds and Art, which has been published by Gunpowder Press. This poem was inspired by the installation at Lotus Land, and in particular a pretty amazing video artwork that had a man with feathers coming out of his mouth.
Didn't he have birds in his mouth?
He had birds in his mouth. It was one of the stranger things that I had seen, but also very beautiful. My poem is called Euphorbia, and the title of the book was taken from a phrase in this poem, Rare Feathers. I want you to eat well. I should open your cage. My mouth of feathers and bless, like a childhood, she writes. Who am I becoming? What will happen next? A full Beltane moon. I should release you, tree climber. You will have wings. The suffering, euphoric, we arranged for. Rare feathers for your hats. Melinda Palacio, Rare Feathers, Poems on Birds and Art. Don't stare too deeply into damask. After the oyster soup, before the aperitif, and during a meal of stuffed quail with nuts and berries, all is quiet. Except for the tinkling of silver on porcelain and faraway voices, human and bird in the distance. Human ghosts holler for love they have lost. Birds of prey screech in praise of a slow shrew. As if quantum, damask wallpaper tears through time. Woven patterns come alive and owls appear. One owl winks its heart-shaped face, eyes like pools of yesterday. Wings flush through script and scroll, sail through broken chair legs. Gold and sorrow surround long halls. The 13th guest, the one you did not invite, has a bird-like gaze, quiet but smiles too much. Bird bravado. Dessert arrives in flames, cherries jubilee. a better choice over singing magpies baked in a pie. A barn owl swoops down to snatch your half-eaten dinner, swallows sweet fire instead.
You've been listening to selections from Rare Feathers, poems by Santa Barbara poets about the art of flock at Lotus Land. Tune into more podcasts at wellnesstalkshow.com. I'm Lisa Osborne for Issues and Ideas right here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast.